gathering in the Lord's house this day, celebrating our nation's freedom, but also celebrating the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. For our beautiful prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with, this Independence Day weekend. We know we have many that are traveling this weekend, and we pray for their safety as they travel to spend time with their friends and family, but it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For those that have joined us this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us, and we want to encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org, and you can pull up our worship bulletin for this morning and use that as a resource this morning and for our time of worship this day. I do want to remind you that our schedule next week is the same as today. Our Sunday school time will be at 9:45 next Sunday morning, along with our inside worship service at 11 a.m. I also want to remind you that next Sunday night at 5 o'clock is our July cookout. I know many of you signed up last Sunday. I know more names I put up on the sign-up sheets this Sunday morning. We're thankful for that. If you have not signed up today, it is not too late. As you leave this morning, make sure you get your name on that sign-up list. The cookout is next Sunday night at 5 p.m. For those who may not be here in person, it's not too late. Contact the church office early this next week. We'll make sure you get your name down on the list so you can be a part of that wonderful time of fellowship that will take place. Also, if you're planning to bring some homemade ice cream with you, please let us know so we make sure we have enough of that wonderful dessert that we'll have at the end of our fellowship meal next Sunday night. But it should be a wonderful time of fellowship. We're praying for good weather. We're praying for a wonderful time gathering around the table next Sunday evening. I do want to say also that I want to thank you for, again, hosting, serving as a host site for Camp Greenleaf. We're 2 weeks in, and Camp Greenleaf have gone great over the last 2 weeks. Thank you. It's been wonderful to hear, as I said, the wonderful footsteps that have gone all over the place. We had to be a little bit of a flexible this week since we had the funeral for Shirley Holland this Thursday afternoon, and Camp Greenleaf went off site for that afternoon, so we could have the funeral here. But it's been a wonderful 2 weeks of hosting Greenleaf. We'll have two more weeks of hosting them. So be in prayer for the campers, be in prayer for the counselors. And I also want to say thank you because of all the donations that you brought in, and we brought in donations from the community as well. They have received enough snack items and drink items to well exceed the remaining 2 weeks. So I'm saying that so you don't have to bring any more snack items over the next 2 weeks. If you do, you might see juice boxes for communion the next time you serve communion. And dabs, you never know. We might get real creative over the next couple weeks. So you don't have to bring any more items. Well, if you do, we'll place them in our pantry here at the church for the next time that someone comes by and needs. But thank you for your donations over the last couple weeks in support of Camp Greenleaf. I also want to remind you that we do have a trip coming up in the next couple weeks. Our Fun and Fellowship group will be heading to the Greensboro Farmers Market and the Moose Cafe coming up on Friday, July 23rd. There's sign-up sheets in all the Sunday school classrooms. There's sign-up sheets in the Communication Center and upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. If you want to be a part of that trip, make sure you just put your name on that list to go for that. It's always a wonderful trip to go and pick the best produce in the county, in the state. It's always a wonderful place to go. If you want to be a part of that trip, make sure you put your name. You'll hear more about that in the coming weeks as well. Many other things are going on in the life of our church. Make sure you look at the July newsletter to see what else is coming up in a couple weeks. You'll hear about one other ministry opportunity coming up for the month of July in just a few moments. But we are here in the presence of God to celebrate Him and what He is doing in our lives today. So at this time, I want to encourage you to stand. Let's sing praise to God this morning as we sing our song of praise, number 630, America the Beautiful.
Oh,
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise, in the city of our God, this holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God, God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. As we celebrate who God is and what he does for us, not just individually, but as a nation and as a people, as our world, let us go to the Lord and God, Lord, in prayer today, thanking him for his presence with us this day. Gracious God, you have made all the peoples of the earth for your glory. You invite us to serve you in freedom and in peace. Give to the people of our nation a zeal for justice and the strength for forbearance, that we may use our liberty in accordance with your gracious will. We ask this on a day of celebration, a day of hope for a nation made free. We ask this in the name of the one who welcomes all to be free indeed. Inspire us to live and worship in your freedom and for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray this day. Amen. Now at this time, if you would stand again and join us singing our song of praise, Psalm number 485. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2. Stand up for Jesus. Collected items for new patients as they provide these items for patients as they enter the hospital to hopefully make them feel a little bit more at home. This month, during the month of June, we're going to seek to assist the foundation's assistance with the cancer center's desire to meet the needs of their patients outside the hospital walls. Now, many of these cancer center patients have specific dietary needs during their times of treatment. The foundation seeks to collect some of these items along with other basic necessities to meet the needs of the cancer patients during their medical struggles and during their medical needs. A list of the specific items that we will be collecting during the month of July can be found in your bulletin this morning, but they also can be found in your July newsletter that you just received this past week. A few of these items include canned meats, cereals, soups, powdered milk, and toiletry items. Those are just a few of those things that we'll be collecting. These items can be dropped off in our collection bin at our lower entrance. Some of the items have already been brought in this Sunday morning. And we'll deliver them, we'll collect them through the entire month of July, and then we'll deliver them to the Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation at the end of the month. Again, I want to thank you for your generosity, and we're trying to use this as an education piece as well. Just because we're not collecting these items maybe during a given month doesn't mean you can't support them individually during this time of the year, during any time of the year. Just know this is something that they're trying to do to meet the needs of those of others in need. It's something that we can all do, whether as a congregation or individually at any time. At this time, I want to call on Susan Harrington to come forward for our offertory prayer.
May we bow our heads, please, to bless our prayer, our offering, please. Dear Heavenly Father, what a beautiful day it is. Thank you, Father, for the land that we live in, the land of the free. Bless us with the freedom that being in your house today to worship you. As we bring our offerings today, we ask that you bless the giver, the gift, and the receiver, that they may be used for the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Strong.
thankful for that. Thankful for those others that are watching us via Facebook Live this morning. The gentlemen, great job this morning with their special music. Thank you, Bert, for playing this morning. As we prepare to encounter God's Word this morning and see what maybe He's laying on your heart this day, let's go to the Lord in prayer this day. Gracious God of love, we are grateful that You have revealed Yourself to us. Each of us loved by You as children. Each of us precious in Your sight. Each of us a reflection of You. Each of us bound together by love, which is in fact Your presence among us. We come to You today, O God, weary and underemployment, of hunger, of homelessness, or oppression or marginalization. Some of us bear the yoke of violence, of anger, and of depression. From these and from so many other yokes, dear God, we pray for rest. We pray for healing. We pray for release. We pray for wholeness. On this holiday weekend, we recognize that our nation also bears many burdens. We don't always trust our leaders. We cannot find ways to work together for the common good. We allow the least among us to buffer and suffer and languish. We lose our children to endless conflicts and war. We fixate on what divides us rather than on what brings us together as one people. Remind us this day, remind us this weekend of our calling, remind us of our common creed that all people are created equal. Inspire us to ensure that all Your children enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Help us to be profoundly grateful for our freedom and security, to never take these gifts for granted, and to use them for the betterment not just of ourselves, but for all. God of all life, may peace and justice fill our land and indeed the whole world. Gracious God, grant us the yoke of Christ, binding us together, tethered by Your love, guided by Your presence, bringing Your kingdom into this world. It is for this kingdom that we lift this prayer in this hour, on this day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Again, I want to say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship this Sunday morning, this Independence Day weekend. I know that we have many church family members that have traveled this weekend, and we pray for their safety. We pray for their celebration of this holiday weekend in whatever way they decided. For those joining us on Facebook Live, we want to thank you for tuning in for worship this morning. This weekend, especially today, many people will be celebrating Independence Day for our country in a variety of different ways. It actually started over the weekend, probably from you. I know in my neighborhood last night, I heard some fireworks going off. I don't know if they were legal or illegal. I don't know, but they were going off. Many people travel to see loved ones during the July 4th weekend. Others stay at home and grill out with their family and friends. Some travel out to the ballpark to catch a baseball game. There are fireworks. There are parades. There are all kinds of celebrations that have become simply a tradition of the celebration of Independence Day in the United States. We celebrate this holiday because of what happened in 1776. Independence Day celebrates the actions of people we only know, actually think about this, we only know because of history books and the stories that have been passed down from generation to generation. Because I'm pretty sure there's nobody here that knows any of those people firsthand, right? If you do, I want to talk to you. I want to hear the stories. We celebrate the actions of individuals that lived before electricity, before regular mail service or anything called email. We know about these individuals before there was such a thing called Target or Amazon. We know these individuals even before the thought of a computer or a cell phone even crossed anybody's mind. We celebrate that these individuals had the courage, the gumption, to break the existing stronghold of the European nations upon a handful of wilderness colonies. What did they want to be independent from? What did they want to be independent from? If you carefully read through the Declaration of Independence, you find the words oppression, abuse, removal of rights, false justice, and punishment, just to name a few. You find a list of precisely stated set of charges against the king and the justification for their independence. Their declaration was to break free from the stranglehold of a tyrant. I guess, if we think about it, I guess if they would have lost, we wouldn't be celebrating this weekend. You ever thought about that? If they hadn't have won, we wouldn't be celebrating as we are today. However, today we celebrate the ideal of the prize that was worth so much time, so much energy, and so many lives. However, what is the Christian comparison? What is the Christian comparison? Because national freedom, national independence is not the same as Christian freedom and Christian independence. And I want to say that again. National independence and freedom is not the same as Christian independence and freedom. Sometimes we get in trouble for blurring those lines. And I hope today, after my sermon, you won't throw anything at me, but I hope we'll have a clearer set of understanding of what the difference truly is. This morning, as our nation celebrates freedom, as we celebrate the Declaration of Independence, we as Christians must be reminded that instead we celebrate a declaration of dependence. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let us look at what Paul says about freedom and responsibility that is found in Christ. We're going to look at Paul's letter to the church at Galatians, chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Now, we're going to read these verses this morning, and I want to encourage you to go back today at some point between your cookouts and whatever celebration you're going to celebrate the 4th, and read them again on your own time, sometime over this next week, to really dive into it, to swallow it a little bit more. But reading from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 18 this morning, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." You see, the passage of Scripture here is talking about freedom. But this is not the freedom that we're celebrating this weekend in our country. So don't get the two tied together, because they're not. Freedom is different when we talk about Christian freedom. Specifically, this passage is talking about freedom from the Mosaic Law. Before the Mosaic Law was used as a way to help identify sin. God gave the law to the Israelite people to help understand how to walk their life of faith, how to live their life in the eyes of what the right way was to live their lives for God, and to serve as a guide to walk the straight and narrow, as we might say. However, through the years, the law became distorted. It became disoriented. It began to be abused by the religious leaders that were supposed to be the ones helping to guide the people along the way. It began to become a tool of control. These leaders used this law as a way for power, position, and separation. Essentially, the law started separating the people from God. This is why Christ came and freed us from the law. Paul declares freedom from the law in this passage. He tells the church at Galatia that they are called by God through Jesus to be free. The people in Paul's day suffered persecution and hardship, which increased as they became followers in Christ. The community in which they lived in Galatia made it tough to live a new faith. It made it tough to make change. They wanted you to stay the status quo. It had to be hard to celebrate the freedom that Paul was telling them to celebrate. Let's just say there were no fireworks and parades going on in Galatia when you became free in the eyes of Christ. These followers of Christ had already broken from their old traditions, and now they were trying to figure out the ends. Was it required to become a Jew before I became a Christian? Do I have to follow the law first and then follow Christ? And Paul was saying, no. That's not the way it works. Even if you start following the law, you still have sin to have to be dealt with. You still have something to deal with in the end. It's the same way with us. We can try to follow the law that's in the Old Testament, and we may live a good life, but we still have sin to deal with. You see, hindsight is a wonderful thing. Hindsight is wonderful, and it is so good. Today, we can look back at our United States history, and we can be thankful for the investment made by free, and it is great for the investment that they gave to our country. It is fantastic that we can pretty much do what we want to do and say what we want to say in our country today. Just listen to the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 229 years later, we still enjoy those freedoms today, and we should fight for those same freedoms for those who are being denied. There are places on this earth where life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness are a pipe dream. There's no possibility of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Instead, they're just fighting for life. Their goal is to have a little hope of life. However, let's face it, there's still problems in our country today, too. freedom comes many other things that steal away our freedom. The freedom that we receive must be cooperative. It must be a union of people to protect the God-given rights at a cost that is shared by the group. It's not to be taken advantage of. Did you hear that? Our freedom is not something to be taken advantage of. It's to be shared by the group. The freedom that we enjoy was not attainable by one or two people. It was obtained through a revolutionary war. They fought to make something new. Paul tells the churches in Galatia that they were meant to be free. That they were meant to be free. We would say our country was meant to be free, right? Paul was saying the same thing, but he wasn't talking about a physical freedom. He was talking about a spiritual freedom, a higher level of freedom. You see, in the United States, we think about physical freedom. But when we talk about Christian freedom, we're talking about a spiritual freedom. Something that cannot be confined by a time and a place. Christ was not confined by a time and a place. You see, freedom came in 1776 when we began to fight in our country. That's a time. That's a place. Christian freedom is not confined by time and space. Paul tells the church they were meant to be free. Free from slavery to sin, free from obligation to keep the law, the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law that is impossible to keep if you read all 800 and some laws that are there. However, even Paul explains that with freedom, there are still rules and limitations. Just because we have freedom doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want to do. The same goes here in the United States, right? Just because we have freedom doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want to do. There's still laws and restrictions. The same thing goes for Christian freedom. That's why we have a declaration of dependence. So he states in Galatians, what are these rules? What are these rules that we have based on the freedom that we have in Christ? Rule number one. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, rather serve one another in love. We cannot use our Christian freedom to become immoral people. We cannot use our freedom to abuse or use other people. We cannot use our freedom to avoid obligation to the church. We cannot use our freedom to sit around and do basically nothing and say, well, I've got Christ on my side. I'm good. I'm going to wait. I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm just going to sit here and wait till the train comes. That's not what Christian freedom is. Our freedom is not a license to sin in any way. It is a responsibility to love. It is a responsibility to do. He also adds, we are to serve one another in love. Sounds like a limited version of freedom, right? I thought we were talking about freedom. I thought I got to do something. I thought I got to break away from these chains and restraints. Isn't that what freedom is supposed to be? Somewhat restrictive. Somewhat dependent. However, it's not expensive. It doesn't cost hundreds and thousands of lives. It doesn't require hours and hours and hours. All it requires is commit to Him. Repentance. Paul then moves on to rule number two. The entire law is summed up in a single command. love your neighbor as yourself. That there is that love your neighbor thing that we hear over and over and over again in Scripture. It was mentioned in the Mosaic Law, mentioned in Leviticus. Jesus then quotes it in the Gospel. James also reminds about it in his letters, and Paul talks about it again. If it's mentioned that many times throughout the whole scope of Scripture, it obviously must be important. It must be important if the Jewish people and the Christian people agree on it. Think about it. Paul reminds us that this one rule replaces the entire Old Testament law. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. This one rule, if followed, will set your life on an even footing in the right direction. This one rule will set you free of all the little nuances and petty restrictions of the Old Testament law. What does that look like? What does loving your neighbor look like? What does it really mean? How do we demonstrate this love? When we are hungry, when we're thirsty, or when we're sick, what do? We do something about it, right? We get something to eat, we get something to drink, and we go get some medicine. Basic common sense. We do that, right? We take care of ourselves. What happens if we want to go somewhere? What do? We go jump in our car, and we go drive somewhere, right? We bought that car to get us somewhere, right? Basic common sense. The same thing goes for when we take care of our neighbor. There are many things that we do for ourselves that we don't even give a second thought about. That's what it means to take care of your neighbor. You do something for them without giving a second thought. How many of us do that well? How many of us do that well? We love our neighbor. We do things for our neighbor. And I'm not talking about the person who lives beside you. I'm talking about everyone. Where we just don't give a second thought. And we just do. That's what Christ tells us to do. That's what Paul is challenging us to do. That's what this freedom that we have encourages us to do. According to this law, our neighbors are worth it too. With freedom comes obligation to our family, to our community, to our neighbors, and even individuals along the path. Individuals that do not value you at all should still be important to us because of this freedom that we have in Christ. You remember, Paul is writing to people that are in the middle of a battle. They're battling to try to handle their culture in a way that they can understand and they can function. And we live in a country today where we have the freedom to do what we're required to do, and we struggle with it anyway. Think about that for a second. Paul is challenging the people in Galatia to stand up and do this in a culture that was basically slapping them back down. And we live in a world, a free country, where we can do it without any second thought. Our forefathers and our foremothers in this nation recognized their lives were on the edge of servitude to a king. No rights of self-government and more loss of control over their lives led them to declare their freedom against the all-powerful King of England. They did not declare war on the king. They just severed their servitude to a life as servants to an unjust ruler. They changed their direction, choosing the harder path of independence. A path that had struggle and pain that would end in freedom that few in the colonies had ever known. Paul was telling his readers, and he's telling us today, that for Christians, the Holy Spirit is directing our path. The battle that he is describing is between the sinful nature of every person and the guidance offered by the Holy Spirit. He explains explains the struggle is in the individual. The battle is going on within each person. It's not necessarily within the church. It's between each individual Christian every single day. The choice is being bound and controlled by a sinful nature and the law, or following the Spirit toward a freedom that comes with requirements. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. But you each have to make it for yourselves. We don't have someone standing up for us and saying, "I choose freedom for you." You have to stand up for yourself and choose it. You see, that's the difference. That's the big difference between our nation's independence and our personal independence. That's the big difference between our nation's freedom and our Christian freedom. We had a nation that was willing to stand up together. But this freedom for you, your Christian freedom, you have to stand up for yourself. The question is, are you ready to stand up for it? Are you ready to declare your dependence on Him? That's what I challenge you on this July 4th weekend. Let's pray. Father, as we gather here this day, we know that the freedom that you provide for us is a freedom that comes with dependence on you. It is a freedom that is life-changing, life-transforming. It is guiding and it is loving. Father, I just ask that you just give each one of us the ability and the challenge to stand up for ourselves and say, "You know what? I choose it. I choose that freedom today." Father, we give thanks for a nation that where we can stand up and not be afraid of someone else saying, "Sit back down." We give thanks for a nation where we have the freedom of religion, where we can gather as a body of believers and sing praise to God, not worrying about someone saying, "What are you gathering for?" We celebrate that freedom today, but we also celebrate the greater freedom that you give us as Christian followers of you. Father, we come to you today giving you thanks and celebrating the dependence that we have on you. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Maybe today, for the first time, you recognize and you realize that maybe you haven't put your full dependence on Him. I'll be down front this morning and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that. Is what does that mean to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your full focus and your full trust in Him? We can talk about that this morning. Or maybe you're looking for a body of believers who seeks to honor Him through following the Spirit. Let me talk to you about what First Baptist Elon is all about. Or maybe just today. Maybe today that you've been struggling with this idea of freedom and what it means in your life. The altar is always open. This is God's altar. Come down front. Sit on the front pew if you need to pray, or kneel at the altar. I'll pray with you as well. Whatever you need to do today, and whatever call God's placed in your heart today, don't put it off. Make that decision today. Stand and sing as we sing our closing hymn this morning. Let us sing praise to God this day.
Closing hymn is number 450, "I Need Thee Every Hour." We'll sing the first and fifth verse.
I need.
have freedom, we can celebrate that as well. Go in Christ knowing that He is challenging you to celebrate Him this day and every day. Go in peace this morning.